Hey, 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 it is me, Rashawn Ali. Happy Thursday to you. I hope you are having a great day. Do I say that every podcast? Well, I really do hope you're having a great day. And yeah, that's what I'm here for, to help encourage you and help you be the best you that you can be, especially through the stories that we tell. Coming up today, Keisha Walker. She's a cool soror of Delta Sigma Theta. We had a chance to talk earlier this week, right after the Atlanta Falcons won the NFC Championship. So we talk a little bit about that. She is the president of Insights Marketing, and she will talk about some of the events she may be having or will be having in Houston for the Super Bowl. So we talk a little bit about that and everything in between. How she went to the University of Alabama after going to FAMU, and four girls were already in her dorm room. So she and her mother turned right back around. So that was a very interesting story, but she fought her way to get back to Florida A&M University and ended up becoming one of the members of the Florida A&M School of Business and Industry Hall of Fame after her return. So we talk all about that and so much more. So I hope you enjoy Keisha Walker here on the Cool Soror Podcast. You know you gotta be a cool soror to talk to the cool soror herself.
I'm a cool soror.
Hey y'all,
I am a cool soror of.
What's up y'all, I'm a cool soror of.
Hi, I am a cool soror of.
Soror Podcast, hosted by me, Rashawn Ali. Rashawn Ali here with one of my big sisters, not in my own sorority, but she's my big sister, Keisha Walker, who is a cool soror of
Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated.
Hey, Keisha Walker, thank you so much for joining the Cool Soror Podcast. How are you today?
I'm awesome, beautiful, and blessed. Good yes. day, good day, good day.
Good day, good day. Now, see, most people know that a lot of my emails start with good day, and I will tell you that I stole that from you, because I remember, and I think that you say good day to people when they just kind of automatically send you a text message and don't say any type of salutation.
Exactly.
And then you respond, good day to you. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. It is a good day. So I started doing that now. So thank you for that.
Oh, yes. Every day is a good day.
Every day is a good day. Yeah. So yes. I do that for because of Keisha Walker.
Now, well,
Keisha,
awesome.
Keisha Walker is, you're everything. Everybody, if you want to know what's going on, Keisha Walker will definitely tell you what's going on. She's the president of Insights Marketing, but so much more. Now, you're a native of San Diego, but you were raised in Montgomery,
Alabama.
Okay.
Yes.
So tell me about when your family picked up and moved from San Diego.
Yeah. Well, my parents are from Alabama.
Okay.
So they're born and raised in Alabama. And they decided to explore and try the world out and decided to go to the West Coast.
Uh-huh.
And so we grew up there, spent like my first 10 years there before they divorced.
Okay.
Then when they divorced, I moved back to Alabama. Then spent a brief time in Hawaii, came back to Montgomery, Alabama. So Montgomery, Alabama's always been home.
Okay.
So I have a very old soul. My great-grandmother and my grandmother raised me, because when my parents split, my mom took my brother, and they stayed in California. I went to Alabama with my great-grandmother and my grandmother. So I've been raised by some strong black women my entire life.
So when your mom took your brother to California, did that affect you in any kind of way?
It did. It really did. Because at first I was resentful, you know, but it didn't last long. So, looking back, and as I continued to grow older, I think it's the best decision she could have ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And she did out of love. And she told me, you know, because my great grandmother raised her as well.
Okay.
My grandmother was exploring the world when she was growing up. So it was a great opportunity to be able to have so much wisdom.
Yeah.
And to be able to walk in the footsteps that my mom did with my great grandmother. And I learned so much.
Yeah.
I mean, she taught me how to save, how to be my own woman, how to not be afraid to ask for anything, to be a strong black woman no matter what challenges around you.
Yeah.
So you know, it's amazing. You know, my brother has had some challenges, and I know a lot of it to do probably with the divorce and not having a black man in the household every day with him. But you know, again, if it wasn't for that base, I think that stability I had with my great grandmother, you know, things would have gone a lot differently.
I was going to ask you, you know, where you got that go-getter mentality from, and you would say from your great-grandmother.
My great-grandmother.
Yeah, what's some of the best advice that you can remember her giving you, even at an early age, that you still carry with you today?
Oh, yeah. First and foremost, to save money.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, for every dollar you get, she said, try and put 50 cents aside. She's like, you shouldn't eat more than 50 cents out of that dollar to survive. She's like, if you do, then you're doing something wrong. So she always told me to save. So I've had a savings account forever. And she's like, there's nothing wrong with working hard. Mm-hmm. And she always told me, too, it's 24 hours in every day. So maximize every day. And then she told me to live every day like it was my last.
Yeah.
And she, and again, my main thing was don't be afraid to ask. Because she's like, if you don't ask, you won't receive.
Yeah.
She always said a closed mouth doesn't get fed. And she's like, as a woman, you've got to be strong for you and everybody else around you.
Right.
But a lot of times, she's like, because sometimes men take you for granted.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, don't ever let that happen. You know, and she was married once and he died in the military from the war. She never remarried again. And he died young. And she was like, I've always been... and had to take care of me.
Yeah.
She was like, and you've got to be able, be willing to also be that way if necessary.
Yeah.
She's like, it's great to have a man to take care of you and to be that strong person. But if it doesn't happen, you've got to be that strong person for yourself. And you've got to love yourself. So,
yeah.
And that's why I've always had this level of confidence. And the main thing too, and I forgot first, was God.
Yeah.
We woke up every morning and prayed. Went to bed and prayed every night before we went to bed, you know, every meal. So, having God first in my life, too, has always continued to make me strong no matter what challenges or whatever is going on around me.
Yeah, yeah, because you, in every situation, I mean, from Essence Festival to, I mean, you've been all around the world. You have always maintained a level of cool that I totally respect.
Thank you.
How are you able to do that in the most extreme circumstances now? Because I'm sure I don't know anything that goes on behind the scenes. I can kind of tell when something's going on, but more times than not, I don't. And you keep it cool. Is that from experience or from, can you hear your grandmother in your head?
I hear my grandmother in my head all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and especially in this industry, men, it was very male dominated on doing promotions, doing events. So it's, you know, sometimes, like I said, it can be a challenge and they will try and take you for granted or make you think you don't know how to take care of business like they do.
Right.
So it's always sometimes these small battles until you have to show them that I've got the expertise and the knowledge as much as you do, if not better than you do. So you're either gonna have to recognize it or step aside.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that's, I was just on a call today about Houston getting ready for Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And a couple of guys who I've worked with in the past called and wanted to do something together. And they made me, they're trying to make me think that the numbers that they were putting out was making sense. And I'm like, not for a daytime event.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not my first rodeo, won't be my last.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know, but at the end of the call, it didn't make sense to move forward.
Because
sometimes you got to be willing to walk away from things. It always sounds, a lot of things sound good, but they're not always good for you.
Right.
I tell people, all money is not good money. So sometimes you got to be willing to make that decision and walk away and don't look back.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep going. Because it's going to always be a good day.
Yeah.
Regardless.
It's going to be a good day. It's always be a good day.
Always.
So let's take it back to, we're going to kind of go to when you graduated from Florida A&M. You went into corporate for 9 years.
I did.
Tell me a little bit about those experiences with those corporations and when you decided to say, you know what, Insights is my future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, I've always been a grinder.
Yeah.
I've always had, you know, even when I was in high school, I had two jobs in addition to going to school. And then when I went to college, I worked two jobs and was taking anywhere from 18 to 23 hours a semester. So I've always been multi-talented and always on that extra grind.
Yeah.
So when I went to Procter & Gamble, best decision I could have ever made.
Yeah.
Ever made. It gave me the base, the foundation I needed in marketing. It's one of the most well-respected companies in the world for brand advertising. Was the brand, I was in brand management and advertising when I was there.
Perfect.
And so actually when I first started my first real business, because in high school and in college, you know, I used to do events. I used to do sampling with Pepsi and Coke.
Yeah.
You know, my mom did that too when we were in high school. So she had the Pepsi account. So she asked me to do Coca-Cola so it wouldn't be a conflict. And then when I got to college, I ended up doing Coca-Cola. So I continued to have, you know, was doing work and promotions and projects even when I was in college. But in terms of formally having a real business, I started when I was at P&G and started doing events, working with then our CEO, John Pepper, who's my mentor. He gave me the wings and said, hey, why not do it? You know, because I was concerned about African-Americans staying in Cincinnati.
Yeah, okay.
Tough being single and in Cincinnati, and even for married
right.
couples.
In what sense in Cincinnati? In what sense?
It was, the city was very segregated.
Okay.
And it was all, and we had several racial issues that took place over the course of the 3 years that I was there. And it showed the true heart of the city and the ugliness of the city and some of the situations that took place. And I'm like, this is, you know, this is 1993, 94,
right.
95. This is not 1968, 67. You know, I feel like I'm back with Martin Luther King. So our CEO was like, we've got to figure something out. We need to give our African-American professionals that are working at the company some outlets. So let's put some things together, some events, activities together to make the city more interesting to them.
Okay.
So that's really what got me started.
Okay.
And then, you know.
So they let you spearhead those things.
They let me spearhead it.
Yeah.
And so, and I had a guy come up to me from Seagram Americas, that was the name of the guy, now Pernod Ricard, and said, hey, I will pay you to put our logo on the invite. I'm like, you'll pay me.
Yeah.
And then that's really how it started, how it was born.
Yeah.
And I started in Still We Rise Productions. And had that through my whole time at Procter & Gamble. And actually up until I moved to Atlanta, went to Coca-Cola and worked at Coke. And I made it very clear. And I told people, if you communicate and tell your managers what's going on,
they're
willing to work with you.
Yeah.
And as long as it doesn't affect your business with them, most times they don't have a problem with it. But you've got to let them know. If they find out on the back end, it's going to cause trouble with your management, your relationships with them, your evaluations. It's not worth it. So I was very clear up front about my side interest in the other company I had outside of Coca-Cola. And they were open and work for me.
So you knew there was an entrepreneurial spirit in you even prior to you going into corporate. You knew that was going to be something that you definitely matriculated to or transitioned to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I was doing events in college and in high school.
Okay.
Yeah, we used to have a Thanksgiving and Christmas party when we used to come home for break during college.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At home, and everybody would all get together. So it's been in my blood forever.
Yep, forever. So what was the greatest thing that you would say, you know, the School of Business and Journalism, I'm sorry, School of Business and Industry at FAMU is world renowned. What was the greatest takeaway that you got from there, having gotten your master's there as well?
Yeah, I actually was one of the first individuals who was allowed to even come back to FAMU because I got accepted and did not come my freshman year. I went to the University of Alabama.
Really?
Yeah, because I got down to FAMU and got to my room, and there was four women already in my room.
Oh, no.
At Truman Hall. And so my mom was like, no. And I'm like, I can stay off campus. She's like, absolutely not.
Not.
So she was like, you can go back to Alabama full scholarship. You already got a dorm, everything. So we literally turned right back around same day and drove to Tuscaloosa. So I ended up at University of Alabama my freshman year.
Okay, so wait a minute. That drive back, how many hours was that Tallahassee to Montgomery?
Oh, my gosh, seven.
What were you thinking in that 7 hours? Like, did you contemplate? I mean, what was going through your mind?
Look, it's normally a 5-hour drive, but my mom, we had stopped back in Montgomery.
Uh-huh.
She was like, we need to, because she made me pick up some more stuff to go back to Alabama. And I'm like, the whole time, I'm like, this cannot be happening.
Right.
And she was like, if you keep your grades up, I'll let you go back. And okay. I'm like, I don't even know if it'll be an opportunity for me to go back. But like that next week, we didn't have email then. I wrote a letter to DMOB, and I'm like, I want to come back. I want to have the opportunity to come back again. And she was like, if you stay in touch, and she's like, you keep your grades up. She's like, consider, because I don't normally do transfer students. She's like, we'd like you to come through our program
an
entire 4 or 5 years. She was like, but she's like, sometimes there are exceptions going to be made. She's like, but stay in touch. So spring break, came back down to FAMU, brought my best friend with me, showed him the school. We had a long meeting with Dean Mobley, and she was like, if you guys want to come back, and you can do it. So I went back home. My mom was like, well, your grades are still great. She was like, if you want to go back. She's like, make sure your housing's straight.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, now I'm working. I can get my own apartment off campus. And she was like, cool, long if you pay for it, you can stay off campus.
So you went and stayed a year on campus at the University of Alabama, got to FAMU and stayed off campus.
Off campus.
Was that considered your freshman year or sophomore year? Or did your transfer?
It was my hours transferred.
They transferred.
Yeah. Yeah, so I came in as a sophomore.
Okay.
Into FAMU and SBI.
Man.
And stayed off campus.
So I'm glad, because that could have easily turned into you being a graduate from the University of Alabama.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they wanted me to stay.
I'm sure, because here you are, a black woman. They gave you a full scholarship. That looks good for them.
Yes. And I was president of our African American Association at Alabama.
Of course you were.
So they were like, where are you going?
Yeah.
I wanted to be SGA president. I was going to run for SGA president at University of Alabama. You know, but again, that whole reality sets in where racism is not gone. It's
right.
He's raising his ugly head. So I started getting threats. My family started getting threats when I said I was going to run for SGA president.
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm not going to put my family's lives at stake to become, to be history in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole family thing worked out. So everything got happened. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
So to get the opportunity to be able to go back.
Yeah.
Oh, and best thing that could have ever happened to me.
Oh, tell me about
FAMU.
It. Yeah.
And our School of Business and Dean Mobley, I mean, bar none, the best school in the world.
Yeah.
Absolutely the best school.
And she recently passed.
Yes.
What were you able to, I mean, she was just an amazing woman. Obviously, she led you into this awesome school and had communication with you when she didn't even have to do that. What was so special about her?
Yes, and she still wrote notes. She would still write notes to me. And she was like, you wrote a letter. She said, everything I ask you to do, you did it. She was like, a lot of times students will leave and you tell them to do something and they don't follow up. Right. She's like, so when you follow through, mm-hmm. those kind of students stay in your mind.
Right.
She's like, those people stay first of mind. So she was like, always communicate with people. And that's something I keep with me to this very day. She's like, if you communicate with people and tell them what's going on and what you have and what you don't have, so people are willing to work with you.
Yeah.
She's like, but you've got to communicate on the front end, mm-hmm. not after the fact. She's like, at that point, it's too late.
Yeah.
They've already made their decision and they've already determined whatever they're going to do and they've moved on.
Yeah.
So, you know, that meant a lot to me. And I was honored to be inducted into our Hall of Fame 2 years ago, and she wrote me a note.
Yeah.
And had a note. She wasn't able to attend, but she wrote me a note about how proud she was of me, and she still remembered the day I came in her office and asked to be considered to come back as a transfer student. You know, and you know, she pushed me with Procter & Gamble. I was the first person to get hired into brand management out of FAMU.
Oh,
into,
man.
Into our brand management group.
So many people follow.
Sales.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, you weren't afraid to ask for more money, you know, because they had tiers at P&G that they brought you in on from MBA programs. And, you know, based on if you were Harvard, you're tier one, so the schools were tiered.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, HBCUs was a third tier.
Right.
And I'm like, we're the Harvard of
yes.
HBCU, so
right.
you're going to pay me at a Harvard level. And I asked for it, and they honored it. But she was like, if you had never asked, you would have, you know, that would have affected your entry salary going into Procter & Gamble. So she gave me another confidence. She reminded me a lot of my great-grandmother,
mm-hmm.
you know, to not ever be afraid to ask for something, especially when you know you have the capabilities and
you
the
know
skills
your worth.
To deliver. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was like, so don't be afraid to ask for your worth and to be paid by your worth. And if not, be willing to walk away.
Yeah.
And I told Procter, I have 5 other offers, so... You know, if you don't want to accept, I'll go back and get it from Amicol Company or one of these other companies that have made the offer. So,
yeah. Go ahead, Keisha. Yeah. So
I've been very blessed.
Yeah.
I pray over it mm-hmm. and ask for it. Same mm-hmm. thing happened when I decided to leave corporate.
Yeah.
Prayed over it, put it in God's hands, and walked away. My mom thought I was crazy. She's
of
like,
course
you're leaving
did.
Coca-Cola to do what?
To start your own. What's the name of this
right,
business
you're
talking
what?
About?
You know, but again, one of the best decisions I could have made was to walk away from corporate America and do my own thing.
Yeah. So what was that? How long was that process? Was it something that you were thinking about over a year? Was it a couple of months? Did you have an exit strategy? Knowing you, I know you did.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that plan.
Yeah, I definitely have been thinking about it when I first came into Coke, about leaving and going out. But I knew I had to have a certain amount of clients before I decided to make that walk away from corporate America. So that was one thing, was having the client support to make it worth leaving corporate America to support income. Another thing was having savings, because people always said you need to have at least 6 months of your savings to cover yourself, you know, as you start a small business.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, let me double that and have a year's savings so I can make sure in that first year I'm protected and covered. So you know, once all those things were in place, you know, I told my boss, I'm like, I need to go ahead and give you my notice. I'm like, I can stay 30 days if you like. I was like, but I can leave in 2 weeks. And so, and so it worked out.
Yeah.
And then I walked away and haven't looked back.
Yeah. Golly, do you remember your first gig or your first event after you walked away?
Oh, yeah. It was just Seagram America. The same, my first client.
Yeah.
He actually put me in touch with Al Copeland
mm-hmm.
here in Atlanta. And he's still with now from Noah Carr to this day. But, you got to have persistence and patience in this business. And I literally followed him around for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he said, you know what? I kept going to his events, you know, sending him a note saying, you know, great job. Really enjoyed the event last night. And he was like, you know what? He was like, let me take a meeting with you. He's like, 'cause you're not going away.
No.
And so he gave me a small project when I first started the company. And then I was like, I need more. And then so we sat down and we ended up doing a national, we did a test here in Atlanta
mm-hmm.
and it went so well, ended up becoming a national program. And we did it in 27 markets around
My
the country.
Goodness.
And
my
then we
goodness.
Did the Seagram's Gin hip hop tour
mm-hmm.
for like 5 years with him. So they ended up becoming my biggest client. But I told people it took time to get to that point.
Yeah.
And you know, yes, you can't be afraid to keep asking.
Yeah.
And to be willing to be patient.
Yeah.
Because it's coming.
Yes.
But it comes on God's time, not your time.
I
think
know.
A lot of us make the mistake of trying to put it in our time.
Mm-hmm.
And God, it's all in God's plan.
Yeah. So, you know, with the type of business that you do, it can be up and down.
Yes.
Almost
definitely.
Yeah.
Last year, 16 was a down year.
In what capacity?
Oh, yeah. 2016, and this is, I'm going now into, I just finished my 18th year of business in October, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
But 16 was my toughest year ever.
Ever.
Ever. You know, but the multicultural space is changing now. You know, multicultural is no longer African American, and that's where we were successful for so long. But now multicultural is gay, lesbian, and, you know, transgender.
Mm-hmm.
It's Hispanic. African Americans, you know, they still follow our trends, but they don't spend money with our consumer segment anymore.
Okay.
Not the liquor industry or any of the industries that used to spend so much money with us. Hair care, beauty care, the dollars are gone. They've
really?
Dried up. And in the cases where they are still spending money, they now use their general market agencies to do both.
Right,
it's
because we're not the majority, but kind of considered that.
Yeah.
Become
the general market.
Yeah.
And so they use general market agencies now to do the African-American advertising and market work. And smaller agencies like ours can't compete.
Yeah.
Can't compete with these agencies that have hundreds of millions of dollars in billings, you know, with advertising. So now trying to figure out how to reinvent ourselves and still remain relevant. You know, and so looking at now creating these properties that can move, can live on and become annual events.
Right, okay.
That you bring brands to the table as well as consumers that will continue to bring revenue into the business.
Okay, and so you're working on that strategy now?
Working on that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
How time consuming has that been, knowing that, okay, this is going to depend on if this business continues to grow?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's been a lot. And then also trying to still keep our you know, we still work with athletes, which has always been our base and a blessing, is to have athletes as clients and to be able to do special events and their charity work and appearances for them. And then our celebrity space, that's what another area that we've now spend more time around is, you know, offering people the opportunity to book celebrities with our agency.
Okay.
And so that's been a huge blessing, and that's continued to provide income when the contracts were lost.
Yeah.
With the Coca-Colas and the CoverGirls of the world, you know, we was finding that supplemental income.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been it's been an opportunity, and it's also been a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, but starting to reopen some old relationships with people who are now in the similar space. So, you know, going back and putting strategic partnerships together with companies that we used to work with years ago that we hadn't worked with in a while. So it's, you know, it's been an opportunity now to meet and rekindle relationships with some individuals that we hadn't worked with in a year. So,
yeah, yes.
So this challenge has become a blessing.
Good, because it has to stretch you in ways that you haven't been stretched in a while.
Exactly.
Or ever.
Exactly, ever.
Yeah, yeah.
It has.
So you've worked with, I mean, a number of athletes. I mean, we can go down the list from Jerome Bettis to Charles Woodson, Josh Norman, Odell Beckham Jr. Is there anyone on your wish list that you desire to work with as far as athlete-wise or entertainment? And now that you're doing celebrity procurement and all that, is there someone on your list that you want to say, you're like, I need that person?
I got the opportunity to do an event with Beyonce.
Oh, wow.
I guess it was two years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to work with her again, because her personality, her spirit, she's just beautiful inside and out.
Yeah.
And I really, really enjoyed it. And one of our fellow classmates from FAMU, you know, gave me the opportunity.
Uh-huh.
So I would love to be able to work with her again in some form.
So she really is a nice woman.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
She really is. And she's about her business. And so I like that about her too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's also conscious about socially what's going on in the community. And with that, I respect her. Because, you know, when you get to that level, you don't necessarily have to anymore.
Right.
But she has never, ever forgotten about being an African-American female, being a woman, you know, and then looking out for those that are less fortunate, and then, you know, stepping up and stepping out, saying something about things that are challenging us, especially as women.
Yeah.
So I love that about her.
And I'm glad you talked about, you know, philanthropy and giving back, because you're big on philanthropy and giving back. You
just like you.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
But you know, this is all about Keisha today. You know what I'm saying? This is all your story.
The Cool Sora's representing.
Definitely. The youngest member on the board of directors for Hosea Feed the Hungry and Homeless. I mean, you have so many different things. The co-chairman and founder of Team 94 Foundation that works with inner city youth from the Harris Homes Housing Project in Southwest Atlanta, and so many more things. How do you make sure, or why is it so important for you to make sure that you give?
Yeah, because like I said, I spent most of my time in a single parent household, and I know how important mentors were to my development and me growing up to be a strong African American female. And I wanted to be able to give that back, because so other people had that opportunity. And a lot of these young people who are getting in trouble right now, they just need someone to care.
That's it.
To spend some time, show them they care about them.
Yeah.
To give, and I told them, you don't have to give a lot of love, just a little love. But that little love can plant a seed that can help these young people grow, become more cognizant of themselves, and be more respectful of themselves and others.
Yeah.
They just need someone to show that they care.
You never know what I love you or a little hug would do for a child.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And let you know that you recognize them and you're happy with what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're so easy to scold these days and to, you know, and to talk about the kids and to downplay what they're doing. And they just want someone to acknowledge what they're doing and to say that I see what you're doing, you're doing great work. And say keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you you talked about traveling early on in the conversation, but you take trips. You make sure you take time for Keisha.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah. What was the last trip you took, and what did you discover during that trip?
Yeah, I actually went to Panama.
Okay.
I always make a trip during my birthday, which is in August. I'm a Leo, and then again for Kwanzaa. So always the day after Christmas.
Okay.
I usually come back the 2nd or 3rd of January. So went to Panama. My best friend is actually born on New Year's Eve, so she traveled with me. Most of the time I'm by myself. I usually travel solo. And people are like, you go all these places
If I could, I would.
And yeah. I'm like, yes. And I enjoy that alone time. Mm-hmm. And being able to just explore, see new countries, meet new people, and be on your own schedule. But we went to Panama together, and we had a great time.
Yeah.
Got to see, you know, we got to the rainforest, got to experience the culture. Their food there is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
The food, I mean, like the whole time we were there, never had any bad food. And the people are very, very nice and polite. I love the fact that a lot of them don't speak English at all. And I love going to a place where they don't mind not speaking English.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, acclimate yourself into their culture. So I enjoyed that part of it. The thing, too, is the Panama Canal. I had no idea what part people of color, especially in African descent, played in building the Panama Canal.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So to be able to see that history and to watch it in operation was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally connects the world together. And to be able to see that happening, it was a really, really amazing experience.
Do you know where you're going for your birthday this year? Do you plan ahead, or do you kind of...
I'm going to Cuba.
Nice.
Yeah, going to Cuba.
Yeah.
I will be there.
Good for you,
Keisha. I don't care what Trump says. I am going to Cuba.
Oh, man. How about them Falcons, man? Can you believe it?
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations.
I know.
I'm a Cowboys fan, but I love Atlanta.
You sure
and
are
I'm so
a Cowboys
happy.
Fan.
I'm still happy for the Falcons, though.
Right.
You know, because this is right here in my city.
Right.
And they are representing.
They are.
So
they
I'm
are.
Super excited. I really am.
You were there for the game last week, right?
Yeah, I was in Dallas for the game
last
week.
Yeah, because I saw
it. I was in Atlanta yesterday. I was at the Falcons game yesterday.
I know you were. I know you were.
I enjoyed it. I really did. Got to work with one of my great friends, a strategic partner is Chris Ruffin.
Okay.
One Stop Productions. They did the halftime show. So
they
I actually
did.
Worked with him on the halftime show. Yes.
Come
he
on,
did the halftime
Christian.
Show last week and this week.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good for him.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta
He's
love
amazing.
Yeah,
I
he
love
is.
Him. We worked together on Ride Along 2, the world premiere for Ride Along 2.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome time together. We did Jerome Bettis' Hall of Fame weekend.
Okay.
Up in Canton, Ohio. So I really enjoy working with them. They do first class work.
They do.
All the time.
They do. They do.
All the time.
You do.
And they
all,
work hard.
Yeah, they do.
And I love that
you
about
gotta
them.
You got to love somebody who, you know, continues to stretch themselves as well.
Yes.
And find new business.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Find new business.
Yeah,
that's
he's
what
got some great things about to come up.
Does he?
He just bought a couple new properties.
Come on, Christian.
He is killing it right now.
Yep, and he's the owner of Doe Restaurant. Like,
yes.
He's just amazing. Just
yes.
an amazing individual. So, awesome. So let's go back to when you came back to Florida A&M University, and then in spring 91, you became a member of Delta Sigma Theta. Now, did DST choose you, or did you choose DST?
I definitely chose DST.
Okay.
My stepmom is a Delta, and my principals, my teachers in high school and elementary school were all Deltas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even the ones in politics and when I was growing up, they were always Deltas. So I was like, and the public servicing, I've always been giving back, even when I was in high school and in college.
Right.
You know, tutoring and helping young people doing community service. So I knew it was the place for me. And, you know, I've gotten a lot better because I was a tomboy, so I wasn't really a girl.
A girly girl.
Girly girl.
Yeah, I mean, look at me.
And I didn't do a lot of women. So going into a sorority helped me really appreciate
Soften
women.
You up a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sisterhood and what it means to, you know, have sorors. And, again, I think it's one of the best experiences I could have had. You know, I got 30 line sisters I love. One has passed away, so she's watching over us in heaven. But, you know, I got some amazing line sisters I love. And I talk to at least one of them every single day.
Wow.
And that was 25 years. We played 25 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's a great experience, you know, and I've enjoyed being involved with the sorority, been able to work with and make money with the sorority through mm-hmm. our, you know, corporate partnerships and mm-hmm. our conventions, and also with your beloved sorority. So, you know, I love how sisters look out for each other.
Yeah.
And I love the bond, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Your line name, Move Nothing.
Move
I ain't going to ask you what that means unless you just want to share.
I always think I can dance.
Oh, so that's funny. You ain't moving nothing.
And I was all of like 90 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
And I would be dancing so hard. And I would make all the big sisters fall out. And so then it was a song called Move Something.
Right. Oh, I know. Yeah.
And so every time I got up to start dancing, they're like, move nothing, move
nothing.
Oh, that
is so funny.
And they put that song on. So I was move nothing.
Got to love it. Yes. Love it, love it, love it.
Yes.
So you have a lot of accomplishments. You were the inaugural class of Florida A&M's 40 Under 40, which is huge. I ain't make the cut, but it's all good. And now I'm over 40, but it's okay. I'm
it's coming.
No, I guess they're going to do 45 for me.
Right, exactly.
But you did mention being inducted into the FAMU SBI Hall of Fame, but what is your greatest accomplishment you would say today? If you had to name one or two, I'll give you two.
Wow. That's a tough one. Gosh. I definitely would say going into our SBI Hall of Fame because that meant so much to me, especially considering that I was an exception that was allowed to even come back and become a part of such an unbelievable program.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely was one of them. I think the other thing, too, is, getting the opportunity to be involved on the board of Jose Feed the Hungry and Homeless.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because it's such a large group of this working poor now, and to be able to help put a smile on the face of a parent, of the kids. There's so many children out there that's going hungry every day. And just that work that we're able to do. People think it's just around Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter.
It's year-round.
Yeah, but we're year-round. Mm-hmm. Almost every day.
Yeah.
So to be able to be involved in such an empowering organization. And we also, when the thing happened in Flint, Michigan, we sent water to Flint.
Yeah.
When we've had hurricanes and storms inside and outside the United States, Jose the Hungry, which is now Jose Helps, always has been there giving supplies, providing food, providing resources. And I just love the fact that 46 years later, they're still around.
Yeah.
The vision still goes on from Jose Williams.
Yeah. You know, when people see you, Keisha, you're always, you got an event going on, you got something to do, you're accomplishing something. In your downtime, what are you like in your downtime? Like, what makes you, like, I really want to know what gets you emotional?
Definitely football. I am a huge sports fan.
Okay.
So love football. And then also, just the things going on with our people, and just seeing and hearing all the challenges and then just trying to help become and be an impact to help others. I think those are things like helping others really gets me emotional.
Right.
That really pushes my heartstrings and my emotional strings. So the giving back and then sports.
Sports.
Giving back and sports.
Yeah, that girl loves sports. Now, who's your favorite college team? Are you an Alabama fan?
Alabama Roll Tide.
Okay, you're a Roll Tide fan.
Yeah, so I took two losses this year.
Yes, you did.
Oh, my goodness. Took two losses. But both of them went up against some great teams. So it was some great football.
Yeah. You couldn't have written a better story for Clemson. And hopefully we can't write a better story for the Atlanta Falcons.
Right,
so
exactly.
Yeah.
So excited for
good
Atlanta.
Stuff.
I really am.
Good. So Insights Marketing and Promotion, as it grows, and I know you're reinventing it right now, where do you see it? Like in a perfect world, where do you see your company going even after, 18 years?
18 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think our greatest opportunity is international.
Oh, yes.
And finding out ways and opportunities to do event production and celebrity sourcing outside the United States. Because there's just so much growth, and everybody watches what we do in the U.S.
Yeah.
So now looking at and trying to build those relationships outside the United States to start bringing the celebrities that we have here in the States there, as well as bringing some signature events and activities that we could do outside the United States.
Yeah.
I think that's the greatest opportunity.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Because I've thought of that for myself.
So stay tuned, because that's what we're trying to work out.
Yeah. Because, we grew up here, and a lot of us think that this is all – it's the end all be all.
Yes.
Like, I can only be popular here. I can only do TV here. I'm like, man, let me get on out of here so I can grow somewhere else.
Yes.
Yeah.
I tell people the world is so much larger than the United States.
It is.
To be willing to step out.
Yeah. Good. Well, Keisha, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
So
please
much.
Keep us in your prayers.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
For your time and definitely spending a few moments to talk to us a little bit more about Keisha Walker. Y'all see her everywhere. So you're going to be in Houston. I know you haven't solidified your parties yet, have you?
Yep. Well, Saturday day, we'll be at Mercy.
Okay.
And it's one of the newest night spots. We're going to make it daylife for Houston. And trying to figure out now, we're going to be on Sunday, we're looking to do a viewing party at Belvedere.
Okay.
And so Friday now is I'm trying to figure out which we're on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So. Sounds good. Y'all make sure y'all keep up with Keisha. How can people find you on social media?
Oh, yep. So you can follow us with Insights Marketing on Facebook and Insights KW on Twitter and Instagram.
And she's very active on her social media, too.
Yes.
But she will inspire you at the same time.
Yes.
Yes. I love your inspiration.
Scriptures. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. The scriptures always give me a lift every time I see
Thank
it.
Thank you.
So good day, Keisha.
Good day, Rashawn, and thank you so much for the time.
I really appreciate it. Keisha Walker, everybody.
My name is Keisha Walker, and I am president of Insights Marketing. I'm a cool soror of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated.